Wasted on the Way. 10 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Monday morning, the 1st of June 2026. Wow. Wow. How is the year flying by? 1st of June already. And we've only just begun. I mean, I'm still celebrating Christmas 2025. Anyway, long time ago. It's the Dave Charles Show, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito. And as regular, I have a very special guest in the studio with me this morning. It's the lovely Tando Rose Gladla. Welcome.
How's it going? Hey. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it's lovely to have you here. You were looking absolutely super. And luckily, we've got a video rolling, so we'll even be able to show on social media my special guest and how she's really born for television. But radio is a good second home.
I love that. Let's put that out into the universe.
You want to be on television?
I do.
There's nothing left on television to watch.
I want to. There's so many interesting stories in this country.
But TV so many. In this country is in the toilet.
I know.
You see, I know, but maybe we pick it up. Huh?
Exactly. But the fact that Netflix and them are doing so well tells you there's an opportunity that we're missing out on.
Listen, I was a specialist television producer back in the day. I know television intimately, and it is a marvelous medium.
Yes.
When it doesn't have interference
with politics.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, here we are.
Yes.
On radio.
We are.
Which is the most powerful of all the mediums.
Yep. Never media. Die. We'll never die.
Do you know why?
No.
Apparently, it's because on radio, you, as a listener, have to make up the images that you are hearing about. So someone
it never gets old.
Well, that you're actively engaged in creating the entertainment. So
yes.
I'm talking to a lovely voice, but behind the voice is a gorgeous personality.
Yeah.
And if this people listening to us right now in their minds are trying to put you together, you know?
Mm.
So it's, now, I mean, that's
theater of the mind, they call it.
It is theater of the mind.
Yes.
But that's a bit trivial, really.
Yeah.
What is not so trivial is when radio becomes a political animal, you know,
yes.
An instrument.
Yes.
Apparently, in many African states and third world countries, radio has been at the forefront of fomenting civil unrest, which we would hate to get into.
Isn't that how it started?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a communication medium that has extraordinary reach.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, we are out here doing good.
Let's talk about you.
Let's.
Who is Tando Rose Gladla?
So I am a Joburg girl, born and lived all my life in Johannesburg until I was 36. I'm 40 now. And I was going through a divorce and it was COVID ending and there was so much going on. And I thought, I need to be in a new city. I need to be in a new province where nobody knows me, where I can start over in peace. And I thought, maybe I should get close to the ocean.
Ah.
That's how I moved.
Well, listen, Joburg's loss is KZN's gain, quite clearly.
Yeah.
I believe that apart from the gorgeous voice and the radio experience, which we'll talk about in a sec, you are a healer.
Yes. And that really was the main reason why I need to come here. I always joke and say I needed to come here and learn how to be a real Zulu, you know, because I grew up, might I say, in a very Western environment. Joburg is like a big melting pot and it's people from all over and we all mix and different cultures and we just have a nice little vibrant life that's not really bound on being a Zulu or being traditional and stuff. And I found myself, you know, being exposed to this calling that I needed to answer, ancestral ways that I really didn't grow up with. And there's a lot of things I wouldn't have believed about it even. So I was led to come here to really come and discover myself and get back to myself. And
were you led to a mentor? Were you led to a healer that could take you on the journey?
No. I just needed to be here because this is where my roots are. This is where my family lineage is based. And there's a lot I needed to learn
about
my lineage.
Tell us about your family lineage. Where did the Gladlas come from?
So my grandfather was born in Msinga, Greytown. And I believe his father murdered somebody and went to prison. And when he came out, it wasn't really a place they could stay. And my grandfather's sister got married to a man in Empangeni. And that man's father was a chief, and then they gave my grandfather and his family land in Mpangeni, and the whole family moved to Mpangeni. So right now, we've got the homestead in Mpangeni. But then my grandfather left KZN and went and found a beautiful Sotho woman in Soweto. Ooh. And then they started a family there, and my father was born in Soweto. And that's how I'm from.
So you have both Zulu and Sotho heritage.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. You can take the best of both.
Yes. Wonderful. And the beauty is then I speak both languages as well. And that's another benefit.
How many languages do you speak?
Zulu, Xhosa, Sotho, Setswana, Sepedi, and Afrikaans.
Seven.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's really the beauty of having grown up in Joburg.
Well, extraordinary. And there are many polyglots, as they're called in South Africa, mm-hmm. predominantly among our black communities.
Yeah.
We Tina Belongo Asikulu. But we don't generally speak Zulu.
Yeah.
Unless you've grown up in a and it's a pity, because I think when you speak the language you understand.
You relate with each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the cultures and
the
differences which
and it creates a oneness, you know what I mean?
Exactly. When you understand things you can accept them.
Yes.
And make allowances. Yes.
And you don't fear it as well.
You don't fear.
Yeah,
there is the thing. So,
yeah.
Yeah, have you ever thought of going into politics?
I have. Funny enough, when I was in high school, that's what all my teachers thought I'd do, because I would just, you know, I was against everything that was to be against. And I went to school in a time where we were the first generation allowed into multiracial schools. So there was a lot of things that, you know, weren't geared towards accepting an African child, like hair, or, you know, sometimes we had to wear ispandla, which is the goat bracelet, if we call it, you know, which they didn't understand and couldn't accept. So, you know, there were people like me who, you know, challenged the system and help us integrate correctly and positively.
I think you would be awesome in the political arena. In terms of your ability to communicate and your passion. But unfortunately, those that go into politics tend to lose their souls, I think.
Absolutely.
I think so.
I did once inquire with a political party, and I remember sitting in their offices, and somebody I found there was asked me, would you be willing to die for the country? And I had to think about that long and hard, and really, no. I don't think you should have to die. I want to live for the country.
There we go. So much better.
Yeah. I want to live for the country. And I think if me wanting to put my country forward and better will result in my life, that is crazy. I don't think it's worth it.
I like the notion of living for a country.
Yeah.
Because generally speaking, that's what we're all doing.
Mm.
I mean, we're living our lives, but collectively,
contributing.
We are the country. You
absolutely.
Know, it's not the land. It's the people on the land that make the culture.
And I'm so passionate about active citizenship, because we look to the government. The government doesn't do... they'll never do anything for us. They'll never do anything for us. But it's our money that is used to do this.
I have an idea that people are beginning to wake up to that reality.
Yes.
There's no knight in shining armor on a steed coming in to save us. We have to, citizens, working often hand in glove with the public-private partnership is what
absolutely
people talk about. And I think
absolutely
it works well. There are examples here where, for example, the UIP is an extremely good organization.
Yes.
And it shows the way. And I'm sure that there are going to be more in time to come. You're involved, you have a company that does road marking,
yes.
Yeah. We'll talk about that on the flip side of a little music. I think it's time to give you a breather so you can grab a sip of water.
Let's do it.
We'll catch up on the flip side of this one by Depeche Mode. You're on the Dave Charles Show, and we're back with my very special guest, Tando Rose. Gla Gla, it's a lovely name, Gla Gla.
DLA squared.
We were talking before the break about you having an interest in a company that does road marking. That's an unusual type of company.
Mega Roads and Civils was started by my parents back when I was in school. It was a passion my mother had, random. She was exposed to construction and the road infrastructure, and she took an interest in it. She worked at a bank back in the day, and somebody identified her and offered her a sales job. And she took it, and there she was exposed to her sales skills. Is that me?
I think it must be.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
And because of not having enough funds to start such a grand organization, they started with buying and selling things, and then it went to manufacturing of protective clothing, and then the Chinese industry came through and shut that down. Then it went into manufacturing of signage. And then eventually in 2006, they moved here to KZN, and they started operating from here. And then so the road marking business grew. And now we are responsible for making sure that you drive in a straight line.
Well, it's an interesting business.
Yeah.
It's something that you've inherited, the family business.
Yes,
as they say.
Yes.
But what is your passion? When you were the young activist, mm-hmm. wanting to change mm-hmm. the world, what did you have in mind in terms of a career?
So I recently, funny, I read somewhere that you should, when you enter your 40s and there's this huge, I turned 40 in December, and there's this sudden like injection of what now? Because I'm suddenly not just trying to work for money. I want meaning, and I want to do something I'm passionate about. And I was advised to think about or go back to 16-year-old Thando. What was she doing? She was a public speaker. She was a debater. She was a drama queen. And I was also very active in sport. All of it enjoys people and my voice. So this is really what I love to do. I'm a creative being as well. Now and again, I make clothes and people buy them. I'm just not consistent at it. But I'm very, very passionate about speaking, inspiring, you know, growing people, growing businesses, growing the country, traveling and just being out there and being great and learning.
So what you've described ideally is an influencer.
I suppose. I never thought about
there
influencing.
Is a problem with that term, influencer.
Yes, there is.
And I think to a degree, the reign of the influencer is coming to an end, because ultimately, if you have done something,
yes,
or been something, and you have an opinion on something,
yes,
it's worth listening to. But
absolutely.
If you've done nothing or been
yes.
nothing,
then it's also not authentic.
No.
Yes. And we can all see when it's fake.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So there is the challenge, I suppose.
Funny you say that, because a friend of mine, Taryn, and I of Coastal Media recently started doing reviews, because I was like, I want to see somebody who's experienced something for real and can tell me the truth. Like, even if they're paying me, I need to be able to say, the steak was dry, guys. Like, if I come here, I'd advise you don't do the steak, maybe do the fish.
Oh.
You know? You know what I mean?
You want to be an honest
reviewer. Wouldn't you appreciate that?
It depends on who's... You know, the thing is, and it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the public domain and you start airing your views, it's fine if...
it cancelled.
And they are your views.
Uh-huh.
But if you're... not being kind,
yes,
generally speaking, if you're doing harm just by being honest,
yes,
it can have repercussions, not necessarily from a legal perspective, which it could also trigger,
mm-hmm.
but generally from a human perspective.
A reputation.
Well, you know, everyone has a bad day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We all have our off moments. You happen to hit that restaurant, it's had an off moment. You go on social media and say, don't do this, their speciality is the steak, it's uh-huh. rubbish, do the chicken.
I don't think...
It's hard.
It's maybe hard to phrase it, but I'd hate to pretend like I enjoyed something and then somebody goes there for it. And then next time they're like, I can't believe this person.
Yeah.
Because they're going to say whatever it takes for money.
It's a fine line.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, that is why I think going into the public domain
mm-hmm.
and representing every man or every woman...
It's impossible.
Or trying to be, I'm going to do it for you so you don't make a mistake. That is a bit vainglorious, yeah?
I hear you.
Because ultimately, who am I to say? I had a bad experience the other day. But, you know, who cares about me? Let's move forward with life. It's good stuff. Talking of which, good mm-hmm. stuff. Your radio career, I'd love
yes.
to hear more about that. I know that you were on air on a a digital platform?
Yes.
And how was that?
So, after I finished matric, I actually was pushed into studying LLB, which I hated. Oh my goodness. I couldn't believe how much reading goes into becoming a lawyer. And I was like, no, I just want to be in court and speak, you know. So I left that and went and studied media at Boston Media House. And radio was one of my subjects that I took.
Why do they teach radio? Why do they teach these subjects where there's absolutely no future?
I think, though, there's merit in...
I'm learning. I'm being bitter and twisted like a...
I think there's merit in learning, especially the technical aspect of how it runs. Wouldn't it be nice to hire somebody and they can already come in and jump on?
Wouldn't it be nice if the radio landscape was opened up on a commercial basis to anyone that wants to have a go? Like in the States, in fact, like in any other country, I think you want to start a radio station, you apply for the various licenses, and based on your ability to generate revenue, off you go. As long as you don't transgress.
Yes.
In South Africa, it's so difficult. So radio stations are throttled to the point where that hardly any of them are doing anything significant.
Yeah, so I hear you.
The opportunities in radio, which is a brilliant medium, are so few now.
Yeah.
Because of government interference.
Yes.
So it worries me that institutions are offering these courses for folk that are building hope and aspiration.
I know.
I mean, you've been through it.
So, yeah. But I specialize in PR and TV. So radio was there for something to learn. I always knew I didn't want to be behind the scenes as well. I want to be on camera. And then I got an internship at Mnet. And I worked for a year. And I could also see there that, you know, I would be in junior level for a very long time because I find people that have been there for 20, 30 years and they intend on going nowhere. So I could see that the opportunity for growth wasn't so great.
But hasn't the whole multi-choice airship come crashing down?
It has.
It's all over now.
It absolutely has.
But and the SABC is hanging on by an absolute
thread. My gosh. You know, the SABC, it upsets me so much because they had everything on a platter. DSTV shouldn't have even had a chance because the SABC was there. And now it's there, you know, just squandering funds. And it's just so unfortunate because one thing about our country is that we are very artistic.
Absolutely.
We are so creative. And it's such a tragedy to not be able to have a platform that can represent us in.
But watch this space, because I have an idea that you're going there. You're going to change things.
I love that.
I can
keep
feel
speaking, Dave.
I can
speak, preach,
it's
Dave.
Coming on. Let's take another breather. Charles Show brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito, and we're once again engaging in conversation with my guest this morning, Thando Rose Dladla. And we, I've given you the wrong microphone, so that'll help. We were talking a little bit about radio and the media in general. You've moved sort of beyond that now. What are you doing at the moment?
So I'm largely focused on the wellness space now. I'm trying to... So one of the modalities that I use the most is breathwork. I have found that breathwork has been the most transformational in helping people heal themselves, or even remember that your body is absolutely able to heal itself if you regulate the nervous system. When your nervous system is regulated, you're able to rest. If you're able to rest, your body is able to replenish itself. It makes you a better human being. You learn to down-regulate, up-regulate, deal with anxiety, deal with depression and stress, etc., etc. So I'm really like trying to take it to the people, whether it be a corporate wellness. I host retreats. I'm about to have a men's retreat in October. I know I'm a woman, but I found that I see a lot of male clients, and they always express that it is something they'd be interested in, to be in a space with other men and go through, you know, men's challenges and issues. It's just nobody's doing that for them, or there are very few people that are doing that for them. So I've organized it. I've gotten a man who's going to run it, and I'm going to orchestrate it. I'm going to guide it. But I think as males, we expect you to be leaders. We expect you to be heads of households. We expect you to have solutions. But when we as women are out healing, consoling each other, loving each other, and dealing with our traumas, we forget that we have these partners that are being left behind. And I've also we've seen our statistics on violence in males in South Africa. And I think it's definitely something we need to deal with, the violence issue in South Africa. We speak of GBV, but really men kill each other more than they kill us. So clearly the issue is violence and not so much men hating women.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Do you speak from experience about having drifted apart? Is that your marriage ended in divorce?
No, I didn't experience it myself. Oh. But I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. I work with organizations like a Heart to Help, and we see it everywhere, every day. And we see it in the news and statistically. And it's just something, I think it's a social ill. And especially in African culture, where sometimes and a lot of the time, domestic violence isn't something that's taken seriously. Like a man beating his wife is something that's seen as something that happens. Something you may possibly be entitled to doing, disciplining your wife. So I think we need to change the culture, the whole culture. And I think through people like me...
One mind at a time.
Absolutely.
That's the way, yeah.
And through people like me who've been exposed, you know, to another way of living, to a more inclusive and diverse way of living, that there's a better way to be as a people. Yes, we mustn't let go of our traditions and our culture and who we are as an African people, but there's certain things that need to be evolved. And I think going forward, especially for our future generation, we need to deal with the violence issue.
You are also an MC, and you have an event coming up shortly on the North Coast for... Wildlife Rescue.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So this is happening on Wednesday. Although it's a golf day to raise funds for the amazing work Lindy's doing with the Wildlife Rescue. If you see a monkey that's in distress, she's the one to call, or any other wild animal. And the golf is sold out, but there is an auction that is happening where you can come and bid, and this money obviously will then go to the proceeds, will go to raising funds for the wildlife. It's to help run the organization.
It's a very good cause.
It's a very, very good cause.
Lindy and her team do remarkable
work. Yes.
And we support it wholeheartedly. So good for you. I'm glad you're involved. And I'm sure that the event on Wednesday will be an absolute cracker.
It will.
And you will raise lots and lots and
it
lots.
It will. It's so amazing. One thing I love about this country, we are very generous. So, so generous. There's a lot. Yes, the economy is bad and everything. But when it's time to help, when it's time to put our money and our energy into a good cause, I found that as South Africans, we stand up.
South Africans are special in many ways, and there are so many examples of what you've just said that it defies belief. It's a wonderful country, a wonderful nation.
Amazing.
Led shockingly by our politicians at the moment, I hate to say.
Yes.
And I'm really hoping that you will be part of the winds of change that blow new energy, renewed thinking. That's what we need.
I'm so inspired. We also need the vigor of the youth.
Exactly.
If we look throughout history, change only comes when the youth are involved, because we need the stupidity of a young person, to put it bluntly.
Well, before
somebody who's not afraid of a lot of things, who doesn't have to think about children being fed and stuff, but can focus on the cause.
When the passion is still strong.
Yes.
Not polluted by by life.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, it's been absolutely loving.
I've loved hanging out with you.
And I hope we can do it again sometime.
I hope so too.
I look forward to
it. Maybe we should do a feature.
Let's do it. We'll talk about that quietly in a corner over a cup of coffee with my special guest, Tando Rose Dladla. Maybe she will be a regular on this station.
Let's see.
We'll talk.
Thank you, Dave.
It's such a pleasure. The show continues.